Hello and welcome to the Heal Your Heart, Heal Your Life podcast, the podcast where we talk all things healing, health, relationships, life lessons, and growth. What have we learned? How have we worked through our trauma, our pain, our life lessons to grow to who we are today? And what can we share with the people who might still be going through that so that they too can jump on the growth journey as well and help to heal whatever it is they're going through? Is my intention behind this podcast that anyone who needs some hope can come and listen and grow with our guest speakers who are on every month. So thank you for listening in. It's wonderful to have you here. My name is Kiara Jade. I am a relationship coach and social worker. I've been running this podcast for about a year now, and it just felt like the world needed more voices like this out in the world so that people knew that they too can heal whatever's going on for them, no matter how hard it gets. There is always, always a light at the end of the tunnel, and you can always be moving through it and moving towards something better for yourself. So I send you all the love, and let's jump into this month's episode. So this month's episode is with me, Kiara Jade, and we're going to be talking about navigating conflicts and relationships, which evidently is the subject of my new book that will be coming out on December 1st. So healthy relating, navigating conflicts and relationships. Keep an eye out for that one if this is a topic that interests you. It's funny, I had a dear friend say to me, oh, now that you're in like a great, like deep connection relationship and a long-term relationship, that means like the work's done, right? Like you've been able to find a healthy, stable partner. That should be enough, right? Like you've done it now. It should be easy from here on out. And I remember saying to her, unfortunately, I've got some bad news for you. Yes, I found the amazing partner. Yes, it's really great. But there is always more self-development work to be done. And when you are in a deep, divine, sacred relationship, it is a mirror for your own wounding as well. And your wounds will come up. You will inevitably trigger the person you're with, no matter how great of a relationship you have with them. And that partnership is a way of getting those wounds cleared and healed, potentially. Some people will not have the capacity to engage with conflict and will shut down or defend themselves and, you know, start blaming you and kind of flicking it back on you defensively. And I guess that's half of my message today, is like, who is a person who we can have healthy conflict with, and what does that look like? And how can we work on ourselves to become better at managing conflict and become that person who can have healthy conflict? Because I really see it as the ability to have healthy conflict is very much defined by our ability to manage our triggers and our wounds. So in any argument, we usually get triggered and may have a wound come up, or maybe that's the reason why we're arguing. And if you haven't done any of this work, if you haven't worked with your shadow self before, that's going to be very scary for you, and it's going to definitely escalate you very quickly. So people tend to usually escalate into anger, significant amounts of emotion, tears, whatever it is, or shut down. I find they're the three patterns that we normally go into, which very much aligns with our fight, flight, freeze states. There's also the fawn state, which is all about appeasing the person who you're in conflict with to hopefully make the conflict go away, but kind of giving away your own needs and wants in that situation and just kind of going with the flow of everything they're doing to make sure that you're safe. But there is this other state that when we're aware of what's going on for us, and when we have that ability to step back and go, this is a wound, this is triggered something from my past, or this is, I'm getting really heightened right now, and maybe I need to take some time to step away and work with my body and do some somatic techniques. So somatic is all about being in the body, and things like dance, things like singing, things like going out into nature, and do whatever it is that brings me back down to that state of homeostasis or calm state. So I can come back and have this conversation again, but I've kind of shown my body that it's safe to be in this place when I'm doing it, because without that, you're just going to get more emotionally heightened, and this can get potentially more toxic as that escalates and people both get defensive and then they start hurling insults at each other, or you did this and then you did this, and you know, conflict can go quite badly, and I'm sure we all know what that looks like. But I guess my job here today is to show you what healthy conflict can look like and that it does exist as well. The first step of that is being able to actually speak what's on your mind. And this can be really challenging, and it's its own workshop. It's its own thing. I'm going to write a workshop on how to speak your mind when you really struggle to say, like, have a voice in conflict. Because oftentimes in conflict, we revert back to our inner child wounds, which is, you know, seen and not heard, you know, just shut up, back down. And that's what protects us, and that's what keeps us safe. And so a lot of people really struggle with actually telling their partner, hey, that really hurt me, or hey, you're getting really defensive about this. Like, is it really about me, or is it actually something about you? Or just any of those uncomfortable conversations that we love to avoid in society. Oftentimes it's those uncomfortable conversations that have the most growth in them. And for this, you need two people who are both willing to look at themselves. So when you have a lot of triggers, when you have a lot of things that are heightened for you, and you are escalating into fight, flight, freeze, or anger, sadness, or shutdown, oftentimes we're so with the wound, it is really hard for us to look at, you know, our role to play in that. So maybe your partner comes to you and goes, hey, you said something in front of our friends, you made a joke, and it really, really upset me because, you know, the joke insinuated that I was stupid or something. And maybe they have a wound around feeling stupid. And maybe they've said to you, and that's not okay, and I think you're the stupid one or something in this. And so you're in the position of, do I respond to that? And do I also get triggered and react to that? Or can I have my moment of like working with my nervous system in that moment and going, how have I contributed to this pattern as well? So people like to put a lot of blame on others when it comes to conflict and admit fault. You're at fault. I didn't do anything wrong. You're the one who did this, and I'm right, you're wrong. You hear that a lot in conflict these days. That is a coping strategy, right? That is that person going, I don't feel comfortable being in the wrong, and it has not felt safe for me to be in the wrong in the past, in childhood, whenever. So in order to manage that, I am always going to be right, because when I'm right, I am safe and I'm lovable and I'm worthy. And so I'm going to shut my partner down and prove to them they are the ones who are wrong here, and it was not me, and I did nothing bad. Because that protects my sense of ego, protects myself. But what we do when we choose our sense of needing to be right over our partner and their needs, we are essentially breaking that intimacy of us and our partner. So the way I see it is, when you're right and wrong, you're no longer looking at the problem as something to be tackled by both of you together in a partnership. Like, we're going to do this together. How can we fix this issue? You are now looking at it as, I'm right, you're the one in the wrong, you have to fix your own issues. There is nothing wrong with me. And immediately you're telling your partner that they are not allowed to express themselves. They are not allowed to speak up. They're not allowed to question you on a joke you made that offended them, because they will be made wrong no matter what the scenario, no matter what the situation. You are going to find a way to make them wrong. And that is going to break the trust between you guys. It's going to build resentment. Oftentimes the other party, when faced with someone who has a coping mechanism around always being right, shuts down. They realize that this isn't going anywhere, and they're just going to go quiet on you. And that doesn't mean they agree. That doesn't mean you've won. So often we see conflict as a battle where it's right or wrong, winning or losing. It's not a battle to be won because you've lost the battle of the intimacy in your relationship. You've broken the trust. You've forced your partner to feel like they are always wrong. That is not a win. It might be a win for you and your ego, but it is not a win for the relationship because the relationship isn't being strengthened. And the goal of healthy conflict, is to strengthen the relationship. When conflict is done well, when we can work to compromise, when we can find a middle ground, when we can actually find a solution for something together in a partnership as a couple where we're both putting in the effort. And this is the difference between toxic and non-toxic. Is you're both putting in the work. You're both putting in the effort to make this relationship work. Oftentimes in unhealthy dynamics, there will be a one-sidedness where one person is always right, one person is always wrong. One person needs to fix all their stuff. The other person doesn't have anything to work on. One-sidedness does not work in relationships. One-sidedness will just dig you a deeper hole of resentment and unhappiness and a feeling of, I can't go to that person when I'm upset with them because they are just going to blame, shame me into submission. So the goal of healthy relating is to be able to find a middle ground and actually work through the problem because that is what's going to make us closer long-term. If you can work through an issue, if you can both not sit in your wounds, but actually come back together and go, hey, maybe I did, you know, make a mistake of saying that joke in front of our friends where I, you know, may have humiliated you. And maybe I just shouldn't have made a joke about you being dumb. And that was on me. And I apologize. And I'm so glad that you brought this up because if you hadn't brought this up, I wouldn't have known. Sometimes we need people to point out our stuff. Sometimes we don't even know we're doing it. It's just so unconscious, a lot of our relating and our communication. And like, maybe it's just a poor taste joke. Like, but it's really great that your partner's bringing that up with you because then you know, okay, what can I do better next time so that they are feeling supported and loved? And how can I be a better person for them? How can I be someone who can give them the best aspects of myself? It's very selfless, healthy relating and healthy communication. Not completely selfless that we're throwing everything away and going, oh, I must be wrong because they're yelling at me right now. There is the part of you that knows it takes two to tango. There is two parts in every dynamic. Even in situations which are really toxic and really bad, and it looks very obvious that one party is the wrong party and one party is the right party, even in those situations, there is always something the other party is bringing to that dynamic, whether it be they can't stand up for themselves, they can't say what they need, or they can't put their boundaries in place or something like that. There's something to be learned from every relationship and every conflict about yourself. And that is the point of these long-term relationships. It's a mirror for us to grow. There is no point being in relationship if you are not growing. Otherwise, you're just going to end up stagnant and bored. So coming back to what I was saying, when we get too stuck in being right, we alienate our partner. And this is not a healthy relating dynamic. When we can step back and self-reflect, that is the key thing here. If you know how to self-reflect and do so without blame and judgment of others, you can self-reflect on yourself and what you did in that situation, you'll be able to heal. And then being able to come back and go, look, I didn't appreciate that comment. I should have said something in the moment, or, you know, I should have said something before it blew up into this argument, maybe like the next day or something. But I really need you to hear me on, like, I don't want to be treated like this in the future. You're already 10 steps ahead. Whereas the person who goes, I don't want to bring this up in case it becomes an argument. I'm just going to sleep on it. I'm just going to ignore it. I'm just going to avoid it. I'm going to pretend it never happened. I'm just going to forget it. Our subconscious mind doesn't forget things. It's going to come up again. And this is where you see those couples who are in cycles of the same argument over and over and over again, because it's never been resolved, because it's ended up in this this coping style of one person screaming at the other one shutting down, backing down. When people get so reactive or so escalated that they're angry, sad, shut down, suddenly the problem doesn't become the problem anymore. So that you have a fight, you're arguing about something, you both get escalated, you're both in each other's faces, you're both hurling insults at each other. Suddenly becomes de-escalating is the new problem we need to fix here. We need to both work on it out, like calming each other down or calming ourselves down so it doesn't get to a toxic point. And it doesn't become about how do we work on a compromise for that issue anymore, because there is no compromise because we're both in our wounding and we're both yelling at each other. And then what happens is that problem remains unsolved and remains still there. And then it builds, it grows. It might go away for a month or something, like you might get pleasantly distracted by other things, but then something else will come up which will continue that pattern. Your partner says another thing in front of your friends that's insulting to you that you don't like. And you're going to simmer on that and you're going to build resentment if you're the quiet one. You're going to sit there and go, oh, they always make these comments about me. They are so rude to me all the time. And then that's going to become your belief that they're just rude to me all the time. And then it's just going to fester. And then when the next comment comes up, you're going to come at that fight with double the amount of fire you had the first time around, because it's built with resentment over time. Resentment is a poison in any relationship. So resentment is when we don't get our needs met, we're fighting with our partners, or we're trying to tell them what we need, and we're getting these adverse, unhealthy reactions to conflict. We're learning where, unfortunately, I can't bring this up because they are just going to escalate, and we're shutting down. And then we're avoiding, but we're also still simmering on the annoyance or the anger or just the fact that we haven't spoken our truth and that we haven't been able to, that we've been denied that voice in this relationship of what we need. That is all going to build this underlying tension called resentment. And that resentment is what breaks relationships. If you have that underlying resentment for months and months and months, things are going to escalate in your next fight more than what they normally do. And it takes that one person to be like, whoa, that was a big reaction to like what happened. And yes, I've apologized. I didn't mean to rush you or put you through that. Yeah, you're still super angry about it. Like, let's have a conversation about that. What's going on underneath that? Is this coming from multiple times, or is this coming from a past relationship? You can get those as well, where, for example, someone's been cheated on in their first relationship and they go into their second and you're a very trustworthy partner, but they've got those fear of trusting again wounds. And so you might, I don't know, text your ex's mom to say happy birthday or something purely innocently, but that might escalate because those wounds of that past relationship cheating, if they hadn't been dealt with then, are going to come up now and be projected at you. Because this is what happens with these wounds. We have all these wounds that we are so good at avoiding. We are so good at pretending doesn't exist. Or, you know, we were told in childhood, you're only allowed to express positive emotions like happiness. We don't want to hear about it if you're sad or upset or angry. That we are so good at just skimming over these things that are actually really hurtful for us and numbing out with social media, with TV, with food, with alcohol, with name anything that people like to do to avoid our emotions. And therefore, these things are going to keep coming up in our close personal relationships, because it's oftentimes they are relational wounds that, say, a parent has, you know, I don't know, abandoned us or something. And it is not until we are in a healthy relationship dynamic that these wounds come up again, and they're going to come up again because they finally get a chance to potentially be healed by a new person. So a lot of the time, the person who inflicted the wounds on us in the past don't have capacity to have these healthy conversations and be able to work with that and apologize and find compromise. Oftentimes, those people, sometimes they do have capacity, sometimes they don't, and that's okay. It's not okay what they did to us, but it's sometimes you've got to go, okay, I've spoken my truth. They're not responding to this in the way that I need them to, which is, you know, to listen and to kind of be open and have that self-reflection to be able to look at how can I do this better. And so I'm going to go work on this by myself. So you can definitely work on your wounds on your own, especially past trigger ones that have nothing to do with your current partner. You can also work on them in relationship, but it has to be a healthy relationship. It has to be someone who is willing to look at themselves as well and not just blame you for everything. Because this, you could take this and run it into an abusive situation, and that is not going to go well because that person is never going to reflect on their wounds and reflect on how they've hurt you. So please don't take that advice for that. Working on your wounds together in partnership and relationship is all about being able to have this safe space where you can speak your truth and share your voice vulnerably, and you're not bullied for that, shut down for that, shamed for that, told you're the worst person in the world for that, you're wrong. You want to build that healthy, safe relationship dynamic where a person can come to you with an issue and you can take a moment to think about that and come back and have another discussion, or just have a discussion in the moment if you're that on top of your triggers and feelings that you can do that, which sometimes you will. Sometimes it'll be a pure projection from a past relationship and you'll be like, I don't think this has anything to do with me. And you might be able to hold that space a lot easier than something that is a direct thing that you have done. And we're human at the end of the day. There's no matter how much work you've done in this space, I'm the same. Like, there's always going to be new triggers and new things that come up that you didn't know existed. I've got heaps of triggers I've been working on for years. So when those ones come up, I am better at reflecting on them because I've been there, done that. But there'll always be new ones that pop up that I go, oh, where did this come from? I am feeling a certain type of way and I need to go think about that or work with that. So that's going to happen and that's okay. But we want to make sure that if we are escalating, we're working to de-escalate ourselves and build that safe space within ourselves and reparent ourselves even is so important in this space. A lot of inner child wounding will definitely come back up in relationship. A lot of people will end up dating people who unconsciously are very similar to their parents because that then therefore they will recreate that wound in some way, shape, or form. And you will have another chance, another go to clear and heal this. But in relationship, if we can both build that safe space to come together, be and share vulnerably what's really on our hearts, what's really what we need, and have our partner respond with love, with support, with I'm going to do my best to do better. I'm going to, now that I'm aware of this wound, I'm going to find a compromise or find a way to work with it. So for example, me and my current partner, I'm very family orientated. I come from a big Italian family. We are all about all the family events, at least once a month, that kind of thing. He's not from that background. And we'd get invited to all these events and he was like, oh gosh, we have to go to yet another one. Like, I don't know if I want to go kind of thing. And I was like, what, don't you like my family? That was my immediate, like, I don't think you like my family if you're not wanting to go. I don't understand what the big deal is here. And he was like, no, it's not that. I love your family. Your family's great. And I'm like, okay, well then do you not care about me? Because this is important to me. And you don't want to do it, and therefore you don't care about what's important to me. And this kind of got a bit heated at that point because not feeling cared for is a big wound of mine. And he was like, no, it's not that. Like, I care about you. Like, that's all fine. Like, and I'm like, well, then what is it? What is it about going to these family events, going to these parties that you feel uncomfortable about? Like, what is it that is building that hesitation there? And I don't think anyone had ever asked him that. And so he paused and kind of like stopped and had to think about it and was like, it reminds me of going to these parties I used to go to with my parents when I was young. And I was like, okay, what happened at those parties? And he's like, well, we would go and, you know, we'd be there for hours and hours and hours and hours. And I'd never know when the end time would be. I'd be kind of sick of it by a certain point. I was a kid. I wasn't interested in what they were talking about. but I was stuck there and I couldn't leave and I hated it. And that has now led to, in his adult life, this apprehension towards events of, oh, do I want to go? Because what if I get stuck there? And what if I can't leave when I want to? And being an introvert, this is a big deal. And I had no idea of any of this. I had no idea of that backstory. I just immediately took it personal and thought, this must be about me. This must be about my family. It had nothing to do with that. He was simply projecting onto me something, a wound from his past. And so with that, I was like, okay, that makes so much more sense. And now that we've had that discussion, I'm not taking it as personal. I'm not getting as emotional about it like I normally or had in the past. And I can stay in that open, safe, reflective place and go, okay, well, then what can we do about this so that we can find a compromise that you can come to my family events? Maybe not every single one, maybe not all the time, but like, what can we do that you're there enough that, you know, my family feels like you care about them and I feel like you care about me, and enough that you don't feel trapped there or you don't feel stuck there? And we landed on, yeah, he'll come to the events, whatever, but if he's feeling like that, like, he'll bring his own car, because then I can stay as long as I want. He can stay as long as he wants. There's no conflict around when we need to leave. And it's like, he can just go home whenever he needs to. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, you show your face and then you go if you need to. Like, that's totally fine. I have no qualms about that. But without this conversation, we never would have made it to that. You know what I mean? This could have quite easily escalated into like me getting very upset, like, you don't care about me, and da, 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 and him not really being able to explain it. But sometimes it takes that little bit of inquiry around, where did this come from? Why is this a pattern for you? And what will it take to make you feel comfortable and safe in this situation? But we only get to that inquiry when we're not emotionally heightened. So that is how conflict can build intimacy. And that is why conflict, I believe, is not necessarily a bad thing in and of itself, because sometimes we need these arguments to come up so that, one, we know these wounds exist and we can self-reflect on them, and two, so we can express them to a healthy, safe partner to listen to give us love around and support us with how can we work to make this better or to make this a safe space for both of us. And in that way, once you have that kind of conflict, things are going to get a lot easier in your relationship, because there's going to be less resentment. There's going to be less arguments because they're not revolving the same ones over and over and over again. And things are going to move forward. And you might still have, you'll still have arguments. New things will come up inevitably, but it will be to a lesser degree. And I think the amount of conflict is a good and important point in relationship as well. If you're fighting all the time, that is not necessarily a great thing, because again, that tells me that you're not really resolving. And that's why these cycles are continuing to go and the resentment's being built, and it's happening more often. Whereas every now and then, an argument, a fight where that doesn't escalate to severe things happening, I think is normal. It is normal. You're going to have that with anyone, even if it's not a romantic relationship partner. But it's how we recover from that, that is everything. It's how we recover, how we recruit, how we repair. If you can repair well, you can do conflict well. If you can't repair well, conflict like may kill your relationship. And that's why this skill is so important to learn. And that's why I tell people, like, don't make any huge life decision with someone, don't move out with them, don't anything until you've had your first fight and you know what they're like to have an argument with, because that is going to tell you a lot about the relationship and how much it is likely to continue or not continue. Because if you can repair well, if you can fight well, where you're not like screaming at each other and finding any single insult you can throw at them to throw at them, and you can just assertively state what's going on for you right now, like, this really hurt when you said this about me because of this, and you can have those conversations, those uncomfortable conversations, you are going to get a lot further in long-term relationships than people who haven't been able to have those conversations, because either their partner is too conflict avoidant, or they are too conflict avoidant, or they just escalate to a point where it's not safe anymore. I never want people to go into conflict where there's a threat to them or their safety. So always keep yourself safe first. But with the right person, you'll be able to do that a lot easier. With a healthy relationship, you'll be able to do that a lot easier. And therefore, you'll be able to do conflict better. So I guess that's really what I wanted to say. So thank you so much for listening and staying with me through all of that. And I really hope that this has opened your eyes in some aspects towards conflict and how you can manage conflict in a healthier way. And I am definitely going to elaborate on this more in my book launch. So I'm doing a book launch on December 1st, Friday night in Surry Hills. It's a free event. You're welcome to attend. And I'll be also doing a workshop around conflict in that as well, where I explain my healthy model of relating to conflict and also the signs that someone is a healthy person to be able to have this conflict with, which can also be flipped as, are you a healthy person to have this conflict with? And what can you do to work on yourself to become more like that? And what can you do to notice who the people are you're fighting with? Because that's the first step, right? Like, it's like, can I have this conversation and be held, or can I not? And without that, we're running in blind, and you might be having all these conflicts or arguments with people that aren't going anywhere and that are progressively getting worse because people aren't ready. They're too stuck in the wounding. They're too stuck in the triggers. And that's really important to know, like, okay, they're stuck in the triggers. Then you have to make a choice around, you know, whether it's right for you to stay in that or not. And that's your choice. So yeah, I'll be talking about that. I'll be talking about a whole bunch of other stuff. There's heaps of prizes and fun stuff. So yeah, you're welcome to come along to that. If not, if you're not in Melbourne, that's totally fine. My book is also launching on the 1st of November. It'll be an ebook and in physical book on Amazon. So you're more than welcome to that. The ebook will be down to $2.99 for the first 48 hours. It's like a little get the ebook like in the launch kind of thing. So that might be really good for you guys too, if you're looking for a cost-effective option. And yeah, please feel free to reach out if you have any questions or anything you'd like me to answer around this in future podcasts. So yeah, I'm Kiara Jade, and remember, it's always possible to heal no matter what. Thanks for listening. Bye.